So I'm curious, as I open up this morning with this question, what is precious to you? Now, on Friday, I had the opportunity to ask that question to the retirement home. I do devotions often there on Fridays. And any guess what the very first word out of someone's mouth was? It was so beautiful. It was John Coke. And he just like, before he could hardly get it out, he said, "My wife." John, I don't know, you're probably listening today. What a beautiful, beautiful answer. So what's precious to you? I would dare say a lot of us would say family. And I was thinking about it and says, yeah, for sure. Family is precious. Our spouses are precious. The gift of family for many is like, wow, top on the list. And this is my family, which took this picture just this Christmas and enjoyed the wonderful time with them. I would say precious, precious, precious family. Anything else that comes to your mind? Health. Ah, my goodness. Yeah, health. Yeah, it's so true. Another thing, health, absolutely. And sometimes when it goes away, it's hard. Now, I'm going to put up with the next picture, and you tell me how many, raise your hand if it's precious to you. What are you laughing? Is it precious to anybody? Well, for most of you, it probably doesn't mean anything. But to about one person in here, probably two, my dear wife, this is like really precious. Like really, really precious. Why? Because yours truly is the studly firefighter with the yellow sunglasses on the left. Yeah, that's me and my brother. In our days, were all we wanted to be were firefighters. And I have this picture, and it's like I have it even in my my photo gallery. It's something that I look at often because it just says so much to me. It's precious to me because of my love for my brother. It's precious to me because that reminds me that's my the neighbor's actually house, or our house you can't quite see. It's precious to me because I can prove that I had All-Star Converse before anyone else did. That's my All-Star Converse right there. And we were able to use a hose at that time as long as we were watering something. I don't know what it is we are doing here, but that was kind of the stipulation. I don't think they're going to put out a lot of fires with that. But let me tell you, me and my brother spent so much time planning and playing to be Emergency 51. Does that mean anything to anyone? Emergency 51? Something. But that is precious because of what it says. It's precious because of what it means to me. It's precious because of its value to me, but it doesn't transfer to being precious to you because it's just simply a picture. So what else might be precious to you? Well, we talk about things being precious metals, and not surprisingly, this is gold. And over the course of history, I mean, you can look back at the most ancient of texts, and gold has always been something that's considered precious. It's a commodity that is not something that can keep being built and developed, and it is a finite amount of it. And we have decided that it, along with other metals, are precious. And its value, yeah, can go up and down, but for the most part, like gold, it is a precious metal that you'd want to have. And I know many people here, a few of you are really good hunters for gold with your cool devices that looks for metal. But then there are other things that are precious for a time and then become less precious. Why are you smiling? Well, because there was a day when, for some of you here, you looked at those things and like, you could not wait for the next one to come out. Now, those who are like probably younger than me, we have no idea. That's just a funny picture. And it's not even AI that generated it. Matt and Chloe, do you even know what those are? Some of you, I know. Thank you, Matt. I mean, I'm glad. Like, what are those? Well, talk to your grandpa. He might know what those are. These are precious moments, and they were like developed in the mid early 80s. And some of you, I have been there and I've seen them, had pot. I mean, you had a beautiful collection of them. You had many of them, and you couldn't wait for the next one to come out, and you would make beautiful cases to be able to display them. They were not only precious moments, but they were precious to you. But I don't know how. Does anyone work at the thrift store that's close to me? Are any of you worth it? Do you sell precious moments? Do you take them there? I don't even know. Sometimes there's like a point where like they're not even valuable enough to like sell at a thrift store. That there was a time when it was precious, but that sense of value has diminished rapidly, and to the point of now they're in boxes in people's homes and collecting dust. So what is precious to you? So Sunday, or actually Friday morning, that a group of us meet for a Bible study at the M in Belgrade. And we're just beginning a study of 2 Peter. You're welcome to join us 6:30 on Friday mornings. We love the time and spend there together. But we're opening up God's Word, 2 Peter, and you're reading. And you ever have it where you're reading a text and all of a sudden it's like, I've just never thought about this before. I've never even let this set in before. It just, your heart by the Holy Spirit is just grabbed. And that happened, didn't it? For me on Friday morning, I'm like, whoa. And so I want to lead you there. I want to lead you to the place that I was, and I pray that you will be this morning. And we're going to ask that question, what is precious? So take out your Bibles. Here's the text. You can find it in your pew Bibles, your Bible apps, wherever. I really want you, again, to look at the text. I want you to see the text with your own eyes. I want it to do what the Spirit does when we hear and study God's Word. And it's surprising. You'll find when we get into it that, well, you'll see. Check it out. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Yes, that Peter. The Peter who denied the Lord 3 times. The one who said, I don't know who you are, when the little servant girl would ask him if he knew the Christ who was being crucified. That Peter. The Peter who walked on the water. The Peter that would continue to stick his feet in his mouth. That Peter. The Peter whose life has now completely been radically changed. That Peter who has now gone out to proclaim the good news and the gospel to people around the world. That Peter. And then this text. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Now, I don't know if any of you were thinking it and just didn't feel like saying it, but how many of you were running in your head when I asked the question, what is precious, that the first thing you see in your head saying, my faith is precious. Now, yes, we have a whole range of things in our life that are precious. But Peter begins the opening of this epistle to declare that his faith is precious. And I just remember reading that text and I just like, why have I not really let that set in my heart before? Why is that something that I read through? It's probably because it's in the opening, what we call the greetings or the salutations, the opening, and then it feels like you then move on to get to the meat. But here, in the very first verse of this letter, Peter is saying, my faith and your faith is precious. And I just started wondering, well, what does Peter mean? What does it mean to say that my faith, your faith is precious? I know what it means when I talk about my family. I know what it means when it talks about the picture that I gave you. I know what it means when I think about a precious metal of gold, but what does it mean that my faith is precious? My heart's desire over the course of these next minutes then is to seek God's will and His word to help us understand how do we answer that question. What does it mean that your faith is precious? And what's going to follow then is multiple different ways of understanding what Scripture is saying to us about the reality that your faith, yes, your faith is precious. Well, above all, your faith is precious because it is formally rooted in Christ's righteousness. You saw that already in the text, but to be reminded, look at it again at verse 1. To those who through the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. We're rooted in that righteousness of Christ. So what does that mean? What is this righteousness all about? I love how the Heidelberg Catechism, just this ancient text in some ways, not quite ancient, it's 1500s, but it would help us understand what this righteousness is all about. And this is how it talks about it. God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Christ's righteousness, His perfection, His gift of all of His obedience. He lived a life that I couldn't live. And in living that life I couldn't live, He then gave me that perfect obedience, that perfect righteousness of following the law of God perfectly. And now, I have received that righteousness as my own. In multiple texts, we'll talk about it different ways. Paul would also talk about it as if we have been clothed. It's like this beautiful jacket, or even like the beautiful full bore of all our garments. We've been clothed and wrapped in the righteousness of Christ. That's why we can say, my faith is precious. But we go on. Our faith is precious because, unlike a precious moment, it never loses its value. The reality is that what I have received is as it is perpetually. I don't have to be concerned about fluctuations in value. I don't have to worry about what is today worth something and then later worth nothing. Imagine if you had to wonder, if you stood before the throne of God in eternal days, and He looks at you and says, well, you're clothed with Christ, but, well, you don't have the other people. Or it's not quite as valuable as you thought it once was. What about the other religions? And just as a plug for us, what's coming up in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about one of those other religions to help us understand how do they deviate from God's word. In this way, our righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is completely and fully valuable. It is as valuable today as it was yesterday, and it will always be that valuable for all eternity. And so look at how Peter in his other epistle would talk about it. Again, just a few pages back in your Bibles. Peter would write this way, starting at verse 3 now of 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into, yes, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith..." And then he explains it again. What is the nature of this faith? "Of greater worth than gold." And what can gold? It can even perish in fire. It can melt away. It can evaporate. Gold can do that. It can be not lasting. "But your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Yeah. Why is it precious? Because the faith that I have in Christ, and it's rooted in Him, is a gift and a faith that will never lose its value, never perish, spoil, or fade. It's of greater worth than gold. But as I said already, not only is that the case that it has value, but its value stays perfectly consistent. It doesn't keep moving up and down. And I think this is exactly what Peter is driving at in chapter 2, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, when he says those words. And by the way, do you see the box around it in your outline? This is the verse we're just going to keep going back to over and over again. That's why the box. Because here's what Peter reminds us of. "To those who through the righteousness of our God, rooted, and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours." In other words, Peter is setting up a comparison, isn't he? Something is precious and something else is precious. And when you compare them, they are of equal value. They don't fluctuate. I was thinking about that. Our church, you have blessed Heidi and I with an incredibly beautiful home that we live in, right next door. And I don't know what, if that house were to be sold today, what the cost of that would be. But it could be, let's say, close to $1 million. You take that same home and plunk it in the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it won't even get probably a quarter, maybe just above a quarter of that price. Same house, same amount of space, same decorations. Do you see what Peter is saying here? You that I'm writing to have a faith, and I have a faith. But its value isn't something that moves up and down based on, well, for Peter, he could say, "Look, I'm an apostle. I have a faith that I walked hand in hand with Jesus on his life. My faith, let me tell you, is up here in value." Oh, your faith, you're a Gentile. You're from the backwoods. You're from another place. Your faith, yeah, it has some value, but compared to mine, compared to the Jewish Christians, you're down here. And Peter says, absolutely not. Because your faith and my faith is not rooted in me. It's not rooted in what I did. It's not rooted in my ethnicity. It's not rooted in how much money I have. None of it. It's rooted in Christ. A perfect, perfect righteousness. And that righteousness doesn't keep going up and down in value. If you have it, it's the same value that I have. Praise the Lord. Imagine if the value of our faith had to do with how much you did in your life, how much money you earned, how much status you had, how much property you had. I mean, the list goes on. And God just says, no. Your faith is rooted in Christ, and because of that, it doesn't have a fluctuating, changing value. The Gentile audience has been blessed with a salvation that is in no way inferior to that of the Jews. I mean, the Gentiles could sit there the whole time and wonder, oh, well, okay, yeah, you know, I'm not part of the, quote, covenant family. It seems like I'm on the outside. My ethnicity is all wrong. What? Do I have a lesser faith? No, no, no. I don't know how many people have Jewish lineage here, but I don't. And to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that our faith, your faith, my faith, is of equal value because it's not rooted in that. is such a gift. Before I tell you the next one, I want to tell you about an acronym. It's the acronym that has S, A, and F. And me and my son, when we were working our wood shop back in Michigan together, we would often say to each other, oh great, did you saff that thing again? And saffing is our way of saying you set it, and guess what the next word is? You forgot it. You set it and forgot it. You ever do that? Come on, Jason. You know, times you ever have a tool that you had for a second and then it just disappeared on you? I mean, I have that all the time. It feels like just the other day I came in here to work on something and I had my iPad with me to get all set. And about 10 seconds later, I'm like, where in church did I set that iPad? It's somewhere. I set it and I forgot it. Imagine if that was the case with our faith, that God blesses us with a gift of faith, but at any moment we might just kind of forget it. We just lose it. We forget how that all works. And I just think the reality is that this is a faith that cannot be lost. It's not something that is with me today and gone tomorrow. And I think about this in terms of when that Heidelberg Catechism was written back in the 1500s, there was a huge concern that your salvation, your faith, well, could be here today, and oh, you didn't give enough money to the church tomorrow, and then on Thursday you realize you wake up and your faith is gone, and so you have to give up, put more money in the plate, or you have to do a few more good deeds, and then you get your faith back. Imagine what that would be like in life. Constantly feeling and wondering, do I have faith today, or do I lose it and get it back? Now, this is a faith that is given to you through Christ, and you cannot sap it. You cannot set it and forget it. And then beautifully, the reality is that this is a faith that is eternal. Look at 2 Peter again, 2 Peter chapter 1. By his divine power, verse 3, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And then we'll pick up those verses in a little bit, and then we'll look at verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A faith rooted in Christ is a faith that will never spoil, it will never fluctuate in its value, it will never be lost, and it is a faith that is for all eternity. Tell me something on earth that has that as its byline. Not a single thing, it's eternal. And then when you think about all of that, and then this, oh, by the way, it's a free gift. What? This is something that's beyond anything earthly, and I have this as a free gift? Yeah, look at that verse in the box. It says so much. To those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, and I put the blank on purpose on your thing, have what? You've received. God, through his Son and his kindness, gave me a gift that I could never have purchased on my own. Received. And then it goes on. He just keeps reiterating the same thing. His divine power has what? It's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through these, he has, here it is again, he has given us his very great and precious promises. It's all God. It's all grace. It's all a free gift. Now that is precious, amen? That is precious. We started at the beginning asking that question, well, what does this mean that it's precious? Well, here's six ways to understand how that faith, that gift of faith, is certainly precious. So if it's precious, say amen. Is it precious? Amen. But is it really? Is it really? Take a look at this picture. Have you ever seen a garage like that? Don't say it if that's yours, but just take it in a second. What do you see there? Oh, so how valuable do you think those things underneath the magazines are? How does it appear to you how valuable it is to the owner? Piled up with a whole pile of all kinds of old magazines chucked on top of it. Is it precious to him, the owner? Oh, by the way, that car sold at auction after it was cleaned up for $18 million. Yep. Precious? How precious? How can you tell how precious it is? When you look at that picture, there's nothing that would indicate to you or anyone else who's walking through there, unless you really know your stuff. How many of you knew that by that look, like that car was worth $18 million? Did anybody here? A couple of you maybe? Yeah, that's a Ferrari 1961 250 GT California Spider, the only 37 made ever. You see, here's the thing. It's easy to say, my faith is precious, and you can say with me, and I would be with you, yes, amen, my faith is precious. Here's the problem, that we treat that precious thing of our faith just like we treat that car. It doesn't mean anything to us anymore. It has no effect on our life. It's just something that we kind of just assume, and we go on with life. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 goes on and says, no. If it's truly the case that your faith is precious and you were really able to say with me, amen, then there's got to be something else. And Peter was clear. He said, I've got to remind you of this because it's so easy to forget this reality. Look what he says here in that same chapter. So, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. Is anyone going, oh, that is me? I know them, but I need to be reminded of them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. You know what? He says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of the body. Does anybody need a refreshment? Does anybody need reminding? Because the reality is, this is what your faith looks like. This is what you have taken it for granted. Faith is something that you have, but it no longer makes a difference in your life. It's something that exists, but it's as seemingly as valuable as that car. It's worth more than you can ever imagine, and we treat it like that. So I want to refresh your memory and ask you the question, okay, if your faith is truly precious, you all said amen, right? I mean, yeah, my faith is precious, yes. Then act like it. And that is what Peter is going to talk about in that little intervening little piece of chapter 2. If your faith is precious, going back to the car, if that car was really precious and it meant something to you, do you not think that maybe piling up old magazines on its hood and its roof is just not a really good idea? If your faith is really precious, act like it. Look at what he says in the verses that follow. His divine power has given us everything we need. This is verse 3 of chapter 1. That we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us every great and precious promise. 5, for this very reason, make every effort. How much effort? We're not piling up magazines on this thing. We're going to give every effort we can to add to your what? To add to your faith. Goodness into goodness, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brother, kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Brothers and sisters, if your faith is precious, and you can say to that, yes, it is, act like it. Celebrate it. Grow it. And share it. Because that's the demonstration that what you're saying about your faith, that it's precious, can truly be believed. So add to your faith, grow that faith, grow more and more in that faith. Otherwise, the faith that God has so given to you begins to look like the car parked in the garage. And yes, of course, Peter doesn't talk about it as a car parked in a garage, but he says it this way in verse 8. Take a look. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, what's the outworking of that? It will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A precious faith is a working faith, a faith that's celebrated, that's grown, that's shared. But a faith that's done nothing with becomes ineffective and unproductive. And so, when I read that verse 1... to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. I wonder, is that really how I see my faith? I started the entire sermon off with this question: what is precious to you? I wish if we could like turn the clock back and start over, and I'd ask you again, what is precious to you? That amongst all the things that we said together here, of which they are precious, the things we mentioned, that you and I could say, no, my faith is precious. I have been given the righteousness of Christ. I have this precious gift that never will spoil. It will never fade. It is more valuable than gold. It's eternal. And how can you tell that it's precious? Look at my life. Then you'll know. Look in the garage of my life and you'll see. Not piles of magazines on this car. You'll see a faith that is active, that's living out. That's the kind of faith that I have. You ready to do that? May our faith, not just in word be precious, but in our life. To him be the glory, now and ever. Amen.